Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
But today I want to speak to you into the topic of, who do you say I am? Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say I am? I thought about changing the title, but I felt the Lord say, no. That's on my heart. That's what I want to preach. See, God is speaking. The reality is, many of us, we want the main course. We want all the glory and all the good things that you bring, God. But we're not ready or prepared or even willing to do the mise en place, the preparation. Some of us aren't even prepared to bring any ingredient. What are the ingredients? Hunger, faith. What's the preparation? Prayer, reading the word. And I felt it strong on my heart to preach this today because this Friday, over 500 invitations have gone out so people can make a very first-time declaration of who Jesus is. We need to understand and have that declaration of who Jesus is for ourselves. And so we're going to be, two things we're going to be doing today, and I hope you're on board with me. We're preaching Jesus and we're reading his word. Is that all right this morning? All right, good. Let's get ready to work these fingers in the Bible. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20 will appear on the screen behind me. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. See, Jesus spent his 3 years in ministry with his 12 disciples. They traveled all over the place in Israel, and they encountered many different people who had an opinion about who Jesus was. See, for the disciples, it was a little bit different because they were up close and personal with Jesus. And it was here that Peter declares that Jesus Christ was the Lord, the Christ, the Son of the living God, which leads to my first point, that our declaration will come from our revelation. See, Jesus asked the disciples, everyone had an opinion. For some, their revelation was, he's one of the prophets. He's something to do with God, but yeah, he's one of the prophets. You know, and they didn't understand that. Their revelation was through hearsay, and for some, it was maybe, you know, secondhand or firsthand encounter. Some thought Elijah, Jeremiah, prophets. You ask around today through social media, through communications, through different avenues, people will give you different concepts of who Jesus is. They'll tell you that there are, you know, even streams of thought that, you know, what Jesus did in his miracles there don't apply today, or he was just someone that was significant in the day that is not today. Others will tell you he's the way, the truth, and the life then. He's the way and the truth and the life now. Goes back to Vanya's point though, don't present Jesus the way the world presents, but how the word presents and what the word says. Because the reality is there are many people that don't believe in Jesus. To even put it controversially, there are many people within our churches that don't believe who Jesus are, but they've been coming to church for all their lives. See, often when we're in that frame of mind, how we present Jesus, we can present an inferior Jesus, a powerless Jesus, where we put all our more emphasis on the fear of what's happening than on the Son of God. And so Jesus knew that. So he's asking the disciples, right? Who do people think I am? What's Instagram saying about me? What TikTok dance is being made about me? Jesus is very, very well aware of, you know, in streaming, there are shows that are condemning who Jesus is and insulting. He knows these things. He's the Son of God. He knows. So he comes back to the disciples. But who do you say I am? Notice he didn't ask, what are your thoughts about that? What do you think about what social media is saying? What do you think about what these people are saying? Or what's your opinion about me? He went straight for the heart. Who do you say I am? Put them on the spot. He invited a declaration. If Jesus were to ask you right now, who do you say I am? What would your response be? See, I believe that the Lord is calling us to move from a place of opinion to declaration. We either believe Jesus is Lord or not. We either step out in faith or we don't. He's moving. His church is keeping in step with what God is doing. We're in the last days. These days of maybe lukewarmness, you're either in or you're out. And so for Peter, he didn't hold back. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you are everything that we've been waiting for thousands of years. You are what's been written about through the slavery, through the wilderness, into the promised land to now. You are everything that we hope for. You are the hope for humanity, the answer to prophecy, the healer, the savior, my Lord. That's the intensity of how Peter responded. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have been overwhelmed if it was just lip service. See, we see that Jesus was overwhelmed by the response because logic didn't give him that conclusion. The Father did. God reveals his nature through his Son. Jesus himself says, I only speak what I hear Father say. I only do what I hear Father say. So God reveals his nature through that. And we need this conviction in today's day and age. What is your declaration of Jesus? Is he Lord of all or not Lord at all? Peter's declaration came from a direct revelation from the Father because of his closeness to Jesus. And it was on this declaration that Jesus said that he would build his church. Verses 18, 19, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of earth, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, many people throughout the ages confuse that this just means Peter. Peter's the only one that Jesus will build this. But actually, it's much bigger than that. His church is built on this declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. Peter was just the very first to confess it. In fact, I love how Stuart Weber explains it. It is reasonable to understand that Jesus' statement meant to Peter was that he was one rock among a quarry, being the disciples. It was upon this quarry of disciples, or as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:5, the living stones and their understanding of Peter's confession that Jesus would build his church. What sort of stones is Jesus building his church on here today? Are we declaring him the Christ? See, as a church, we can miss the point. Ephesians 2, 19, 22, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone in whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus is the cornerstone, and on that revelation, he builds his church around us, the rocks around him. You need to understand, Jesus is the service flow. We don't plan for these moments to go, okay, let's just create an atmosphere for an extra 10 minutes. No, God, you are the service flow. Whenever you move, we stop. We wait for you. He's everything else, even our kids' church and in between. Jesus is everything. Which is why for me, it's no longer about how good do I preach. It's not about me. Or how good does our worship team sing. Or how good do the lights sound or the sound sounds. Or it's not even about that. It's about Jesus. This is your church. He's calling us to chase Jesus. The gates of Hades, the gates of death cannot prevail. And the reality of life is we could all get up right now and get out and walk and Jesus will still build his church without us. Acts 2:47, he adds to the numbers daily. See, the more that I understand this in the Word of God, I understand that it's not our job to impress you, it's to serve God. It's not to impress me, but to serve God. And that's our lives. And what happens in response? Well, the keys of the kingdom of God given to us all, not just the staff, not just the prayer teams, but each and every one of us are given the authority of the kingdom of God, which is what it's all about. Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God, to bring heaven on earth. And this is why proximity is so essential. Because our declaration of who Jesus is will always be limited to the revelation of what Father has given us. If you don't spend time with the Father, you're not going to get a full revelation of who Jesus is. So you'll filter it through your own disappointments, bitterness, perspectives. See, we've been given authority to bind on earth, to loose in heaven. Can I say that again? We've been given authority to bind on earth and to loose in heaven. Do you believe it? Then why do our prayer lives not reflect that? Why are our prayer meetings always empty? Why are our prayer spaces always empty? See, you need to understand, when you know that there's a living God that literally can bind things on earth and loose on heaven, why is it that in our generation, I'm not talking Numa West, I'm talking our generation, why do we struggle with prayer? See, when Peter got this revelation, post-denying, he comes back, he went all the way to the cross upside down on that revelation. And many of us won't even pray a simple prayer. See, I believe the reason is, and I felt the Holy Spirit impress this firstly on my heart many years ago, but I believe it to be true for all of us, is that all of us have confessed with our mouths, but many of us have stopped believing in our hearts. Because bitterness, hurt, disappointment, God didn't answer the prayer, that person hurt me in church. That was me, guys. I walked through this church 14 years ago. Oh, they're only talking to me because they want something from me. I don't believe God can heal because I prayed for that person. It never happened. I don't think God could use me because I'm a disappointment. Like, I've been there. I understand that. But when you understand the revelation that Jesus Christ didn't care about all those things, he died for me even before I was even born so that I could live in freedom, you recognize that, you know what? Yes, Jesus, I want to be in your presence 24 hours a day if I had to. See, the lack of signs and wonders is not on God's part. And so our declarations, they're an insight into what is primary in our hearts. See, I say that, it's a brutal thing to say, but I believe that my heart is, by the end of this message, each of you are going to believe in your hearts again. That's my belief for each and every one of you. And so for Peter, Jesus was the primary focal point. Peter's revelation about Jesus is something that we are freely able to declare now that we have the Holy Spirit, and something that we can only come to understand when we make Jesus the center of everything. And so as we receive our own declaration of Jesus, then we can accept his invitation to go higher. See, not long after this exchange, I like to call it the caveat scripture. So they've said that Peter's like, hey, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Beautiful. I'm in, right? But then Jesus speaks about the cost of discipleship. Mark 8, 34 to 38. So we're going to read a little bit today. It's good to read in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Yeah. Come on. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This was a line in the sand moment now. Peter, you get the declaration. Father's given that to you. You've declared who I am. How far are you willing to go to live on that declaration? Line in the sand. See, we want the glory without laying anything down. We want the breakthrough without even simply praying a prayer, hoping that someone will pray it for me. We want the revelation, but we won't go to the Word of God. So for some of us, it's simply laying down 5 minutes in the day to pray to God to read the Word. Now, this may come across as harsh, but let me tell you, by the end of the sermon, when you understand the fullness of Jesus is, you will understand why. Why have I taken this long? That's how long it's been. I've been walking with God almost 30 years, and it's only been in the last 6 years that I've realized, why did I take so long, God? Why have I been trying to do it all in my own strength? See, for the disciples, it was, come follow me, and they left everything. Now, hear me. Hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying today, everyone go sell your houses, go live on the street and serve God and be here every day. But is God, Jesus, the Son of God, not worthy of at least 10 minutes of our day? See, to go higher, you must go deeper. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. And so the caveat verses come. So Peter's made the declaration. Jesus has drawn the line in the sand, and the disciples are still there. We even read in John 6 what we like to call the Dracula scripture of the Bible, because Jesus talks about eat my flesh, drink my blood, and then everyone starts to go, this guy's weird, man, I'm going. Jesus is like, okay, he looks at the disciples, you going as well? And the disciples are like, we ain't going anywhere. That's the New David translation. Don't encourage you to read that one. So then we move into Mark 9, 2-8. Based on who do you say I am, going through the line in the sand, Mark 9, 2-8. Now, after 6 days, so after this whole conversation, this caveat discussion, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Nappy Plus ain't got nothing on this. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking. Not a dig at Nappy Plus, they are very good, but anyway. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked around and they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Interesting that. I mean, I didn't put that in my notes, but that's twice that Jesus tells them, don't tell anyone. It wasn't because it was his big, great secret. Is because, again, these people didn't have revelation on who God was. But Peter, James, and John did. That's a little side note there. See, here Jesus takes the three higher. Having heard the declaration of who Jesus is, having gone over the line in the sand, all right, you're ready to come on up. See, proximity leads to understanding, which leads to revelation, which leads to declaration, which leads to demonstration. Let me say that again. Proximity leads to understanding. Understanding leads to revelation. Revelation leads to declaration. And declaration leads to demonstration. One more time. Proximity leads to understanding. Understanding leads to revelation. Revelation leads to declaration. And declaration leads to demonstration. It's funny because those last two were on my notes, but I felt Holy Spirit just put that there. He's like, you left it half empty, son. Sorry, Lord. Last minute assignments. No, not at all. I don't do this last minute, I promise. See, here Jesus is transfigured, but he wasn't changing into someone else. He was changing into who he already was. See, the great transfiguration didn't happen on this mountain. It happened when he became a baby and became a man. So here in this moment, he revealed who his true identity is, shining brighter than any bleached cloth. And I love how one commentator puts it, for Peter, James, and John, this was the moment that faith turned into sight for the disciples. For those that like a bit of the comics, you know, I'm a bit impartial, DC or Marvel, you know. Picture it in this way, right? Well, DC, good, I'm glad someone said that. What happened on this mountain, would you imagine, right? Even though it's the world's worst disguise, we all know who Clark Kent is, but you know, let's go along with him because it's just Superman with glasses, but let's just use that analogy. It's like Clark Kent telling everybody, those close to him, come with me. I'm actually Superman. That's actually me, but I'm pretending to be Clark Kent. That's what Jesus did here. I'm actually the Son of God, radiating, almighty, all shining, but I'm just putting in there as a man so I can come and live like you, die for you, set you free, so you don't have to face eternity without me. See, the full glory was made known in this moment. Now, you got to understand the significance, the fact that he would actually talk about the color that he turned. Because the Bible doesn't really reference color much. In fact, in this day, many of the guys, it's probably relevant today as well, especially on how I eat, many people didn't wear white because it'd get dirty pretty quick. So the fact that here the writer, Mark, highlights that there's a color transfiguration, is there something significant about that moment? And the fact that if that wasn't enough, he then has to go to the next level and say, there is no nappy sand in the world that can actually do what happens here, tells you the significance of that. This is Jesus. This is the one who gave it all for our sins. He is unrivaled in his glory. He is unrivaled in his majesty. And he wants to bring you up to see all his glory. It's time for the church to step up. See, as a church, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and the revelation of who he truly is. When he comes back, this is how he's going to return in all his glory. And yet this Jesus, he longs for your affection and attention. He longs to do life with you. He longs to be alongside you no matter what you go through. See, no matter the circumstances, no matter what we think we know or who we think we know, one thing will always remain fundamentally true, and that's that Jesus stands above it all. See, we see in this moment, right? Elijah and Moses appear. You know, this is an embodiment of the law and the prophets, Moses being the law and Elijah the prophets. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, right? And isn't it interesting that Elijah pops up literally as just a few moments ago that we're talking about? Some say you're Elijah. Now we're actually seeing Elijah, man. Like, that would trip me out, right? Now the disciples are seeing what everyone believes. Oh, gee, you look nothing like him, Jesus. I don't think it was that, the conversation. Peter got starstruck. Peter's like, oh my goodness, that's Elijah. Oh man, all my life, we've been taught about the law and we've heard about Elijah. Oh man, so what does he do? He blurts out the very first thing. Hey man, let's just put up a tabernacle for each of you because he's freaking out. Let's be real. Many of us probably would have done the same, right? I know I would. Don't believe me? How many of us put an emphasis on who the guest preacher is? What? So-and-so is coming? We better go. Oh, just Dave's preaching. Don't worry, I say that sometimes too. See, for the guys, they got familiar with Jesus. So they put Elijah and Moses on the same level playing field as Jesus. Let's put one for each. It wasn't necessarily a bad thing wanting to honor, but they thought, oh man, he's just, you know, it isn't Billy Graham. So we do that. Some often go to the other extreme. We put the trial and circumstance and what the devil is doing on the same level playing field as somehow the devil has got the same authority as Jesus does. Oh, but you don't understand what I'm going through. Vince's cancer didn't survive against what Jesus did. JoJo's cancer last year didn't survive against what Jesus did. There isn't an even playing field. This isn't a tug of war, right? This is already conquered on the cross. Jesus died on the cross and set all of us free from all these things. Come on, I think he deserves more praise than that. That's not a good line. That's the truth. But just in case, you know, Peter didn't fully understand that he's putting in, you know, the next best preacher with Jesus, the father interrupts. You know, it's not your day when the father interrupts and in a very lovely way tells you to settle down. Because see, you got to understand, right? And I'm not knocking other preachers, man. Look, people that spend their life preaching the word of God is important. But you got to understand, when we preach the word, Peter says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You shouldn't be looking at me, you should be looking at Jesus. And if you're not seeing Jesus through me as I preach, then don't come here anymore. I'm not going to come anymore. Because far be it from me, I get to heaven and I'm preaching something that's not Jesus, right? Whoo, child. So the father interrupts. See, Elijah and Moses were reflecting. They were reflecting Jesus' glory. Jesus was just who he was. You know, I read a funny thing yesterday. Diamonds don't shine, they reflect. So these guys were diamonds, they were reflecting, but Jesus is the diamond that reflects to other people. See, Jesus shining is who he is, which is greater than anything. Greater than any circumstance. But Dave, all my life, this is what I've been. Jesus is even greater than all your life. That's how you've been. Hear me in this. I love the way that Rodney Cooper says it. God was not denigrating the value of the law and the prophets, but declaring that life was given only through the Son. We can cling to the law and live by its precepts, even down to tithing a tenth of the dime we find on the sidewalk. We can seek out mysticism and spiritual experiences or voices. We can be experts on biblical prophecy. We can seek life in being a good person. Or we can search the skies for a divine sign. But it is only in becoming a child of God through Jesus Christ that we find the life we have been missing. You know, I know that there are, and I was there too. So, you know, I know that there were some of us that might have been a bit uncomfortable with what happened before. I mean, I know for me, like when I first came in, that's how I felt. But then I read the scripture, right? Naaman's asked to go and dip into a river 7 times. Like that was probably like Werribee South Beach. Go and dip in 7 times and you're going to be healed. I don't know, man. Like some of the things you read in the Bible, right? Hey, world record, Ezekiel, I want you to do a plank for 700 and something days on one side, man. Huh? Yeah, plank. So you're going to have like ripped abs on this one because the other one's only a couple of days. Yeah, Ezekiel, you hungry? Yeah, I want to make a point. I want you to get human feces and cook over that and eat. Come again? So let me tell you, I'm happy to get a little bit undignified in worship because I praise the Lord. Jesus came, we don't have to do that anymore, right? Just saying, in the Bible, you read, it's all in the Bible. Some of the things that you read, like Elijah going to Elisha, he's the one that's going to take you, throwing a cloak and then running off. And then Elisha, hey, what happened? What do I have to do with you? Dude, is this guy all right? We read this in the Bible. Let's not be freaked out by what happens on this side of the cross, right? See, God the Father instructs Peter to listen to Jesus. Why? Because he is the name above it all. See, David Turner puts it this way. The listen to him of God in the transfiguration becomes the teaching them to observe all things I have commanded of you in the Great Commission. See, then, like that, you know, full-on dream, everything disappears. It's just the 3 and Jesus. They were afraid. I love that in Matthew's account, Jesus actually comes down and is like, hey, don't be afraid. I feel like today what happened in worship, for those that are still wondering, I feel like Jesus today is saying to you, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm here with you. Hey, you've gone through that. People have abandoned you, hurt you, broken you. Hey, I'm here. Don't be afraid. Yeah, you've had that illness all your life. Hey, here. I'm here. Don't be afraid. The presence of God should give us a reverent fear, not a terrifying fear. So Peter, along with James and John, had gone from hearing what others had said to declaring what they knew about Jesus to hearing what the Father said about Jesus. So now they were beyond a reasonable doubt certain about who Jesus was. Whereas the Pharisees and many others lost this opportunity because they created a construct about who they thought Jesus should be. If we're not careful, we can miss it altogether. I'm going to invite the band to come up. See, we read in verse 11 and 12, and they asked him, the disciples asking Jesus, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Then he answered and told them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him. See, the religious order of the day were convinced that this is how it was going to happen. And yet they missed the opportunity of a lifetime. See, we have the benefit of hindsight because we have the word and yet we still miss it. We see all these things that take place. Why is that? See, I believe that where the scribes and the Pharisees overanalyzed, we completely underanalyze because we don't read the word at all. The word is meant to build faith. Why? Because Jesus is the word. John 1:1, he's the revealed word of God. He is the one that said, let us make man in our image. He's the one that said, let there be light. He's the one that spoke you into very existence here today. Which is why our declaration is so important. Who do you say Jesus is? Some people are like, oh, Pastor, I don't read the Old Testament, man. That's all like judgment. And do you know that Jesus is in every chapter of the Bible? Don't believe me? Good. I was hoping so. I'm going to read this to you. I want us just to bow our heads and close our eyes. If this doesn't inspire you to want to come closer to Jesus, if this doesn't inspire you to want to come up when we worship and worship Jesus, I don't know what will. See, I came across this. I'm not sure who the actual author is, so I can't take credit of this. I'm going to call it Mr. Anonymous or Mrs. Anonymous wrote this. But I want you to reflect on these very words. In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is a prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he is a commander of the Lord's army. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. Do you know him? In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is the seed of David. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of everything broken. In Esther, he is our Mordecai, our advocate. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he is our meaning for life. In the Song of Solomon, he is the loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, he is our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the glorious Lord. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is the faithful husband. In Joel, he is the outpourer of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is our judge and savior. In Jonah, he is the risen prophet. In Micah, he is the ruler of the world from Bethlehem. In Nahum, he is our stronghold. In Habakkuk, he is the watchman. In Zephaniah, he is the mighty to save. In Haggai, he is the restorer. In Zechariah, he is the branch of David, the one pierced for us. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness. Do you know this Jesus? In Matthew, he is the king of the Jews, the Messiah, the Christ, the son of the living God. In Mark, he is the servant, miracle worker. In Luke, he is the baby in the manger, the son of man. In John, he is the son of God, the living word, the way, the truth, and the life. In Acts, he is the savior of the world, ascended Lord. In Romans, he is the justifier. In 1 Corinthians, he is the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he is our comfort. In Galatians, he is our liberty. In Ephesians, he is the head of our church. In Philippians, he is our joy. In Colossians, he is our completeness and the glue that holds our world together. Do you know him, church? In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is the coming king. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he is our mediator. In Philemon, he is our benefactor. In Titus, he is the blessed hope. In Hebrews, he is our perfection. In James, he is the power behind our faith. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is our chief shepherd and chief cornerstone. In 1, 2, 3 John, he is our truth and everlasting life. In Jude, he is the foundation of our faith, our security. In Revelation, he is the Alpha and Omega, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you believe it? Come on, let's be upstanding. There's still more. He is the first and last, the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, but never undone. Do you know this Jesus? He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him. And the leaders cannot ignore him. Do you know my Jesus? Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The grave couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. Other religions can't replace him. And the world can't explain him away. He is light, love, longevity, and the Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on us. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide, and he is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and he rules my life. So Lord, right now I pray that on these revelations, Lord, there is nothing that you are not God. Because you are still the Son of God, even in my unbelief. Even in the trials that I face right now, you are my living God. So Lord, we just honor you right now. You know, you heard Pastor Sonia talk about, you know, before, how we just go in moments like this. And I believe that right now, I want to invite us, if you feel convicted by what you've just heard about who Jesus is, why don't you come to the front and just worship? Don't worry about the person on the left or your right. Don't worry about even your own circumstance. Bring it to the altar. Jesus wants to meet you. Holy Spirit wants to encounter you. What are we waiting for, church? When you hear this, how can you not come to the feet of Jesus? Come on. you are our one thing, God. Lord, my prayer right now is for those of us that have confessed with our mouth but have stopped believing in our heart, Lord. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? I feel the Holy Spirit just put on my heart that there are many of you that are carrying the burdens that were never yours to carry. Offenses and hurt that were never yours to carry. Battles that you fought that were never yours to fight or carry. And there are some here that blame themselves for that, but the Lord today is breaking that off people right now. For others, I feel like Jeremiah 29:13. There are some of you that are like, well, God, I'm upset at you because you didn't insert what happened here. And I feel Jeremiah 29:13, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I believe there are answers to prayers and things that you're not aware of that the Lord wants to reveal, but are you willing to seek him for that? For others, like I share every time, and I'm not, if you need to head off, feel free to head off. Like, you know, we're just going to stay here in this moment. The Lord's no respecter of persons, and we wish you have a good day. We'll be having lunch for those who are not too far off, but there are others that the Lord just wants to delight in you. He wants to be your delight just like you are for him. So many of us carry so much disappointment. The Lord is disappointed for you and with you. This is a moment of encounter. This is a moment of encounter. See, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to reveal his glory, but his heart wasn't just for it to be limited to them three. God's glory is not just for the front of the auditorium, it's for the whole world. So Lord, right now I pray, Father God, that you reveal your glory to people. For those that are holding on tight to their hurts and disappointments, I get this beautiful picture. There are some of you holding on to the every part of your heart, every hurt and disappointment, and the Lord is gently undoing your fingers on that and holding your hand. The Lord is with you. Jesus says, I am with you. Do not be afraid. Lord, we release those, Father God, that have transgressed us. Just like you said, and we celebrate this Friday, Lord. Like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Hurt people hurt people. So we release those, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would convict them, Lord, but that we would not hold out their offense on us and we will not take it out on ourselves and others, Lord. I say it every time. Each and every one of you that call this location home, you are an answer to prayer for us. This isn't Christianese. This is, Lord, you send people, Lord, that will sharpen us, that we can sharpen alongside, and you are the very answer to that prayer. And yet some of you still don't believe that. My heart is that you will, that the Lord will, first you will give that to the Lord and you will trust in that.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.